name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "For judgment I come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." John's gospel is a strange but brilliant gospel. As noted a couple weeks ago, John never calls the miracles in his gospel miracles. He calls them signs. They are signs because they are always pointing to a reality that is beyond themselves. As John says at the end of his gospel, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The miracles, the signs in John's gospel always point us away from themselves and to Jesus. They reveal who Jesus is and his work for us so that we might believe in him. And in John's gospel, they generally aren't simply about something that Jesus did 2,000 years ago at a specific time and a specific place. Of course, they do record that, but instead, John has chosen miracles done by Jesus that connect his earthly ministry to his ongoing ministry in the church. The purpose is not simply that you believe in what Jesus did then and there, but that you believe in what Jesus is doing in our midst, here and now. And this is why, if you read the Gospel of John, his miracles almost always involve water or eating. It is always a washing or a feast, and sometimes it is both. Because John and the Holy Spirit, who used him to write, want you to understand that what Jesus did then and there, he does here and now in a better way through baptism and through the Lord's Supper. And so the account of the blind man receiving his sight is not just about this miracle, as if that weren't enough. We come to see something deeper and stranger still. This man, the man born blind, is not the only one in the story who is blind from birth. He is physically blind, but that which is born of flesh is flesh. And so, from the last couple of weeks, we should be able to predict that physical blindness is not the only thing at play, but rather the more serious and indeed, if not treated, fatal condition of spiritual blindness is at play. We see our clue in verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." It's as if something is wrong with their eyes. And the disciples, just a few verses prior, show that there is something wrong with their eyes as well. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Instead of looking at the blind man with compassion, as Jesus does, instead of seeing the way that Jesus sees, they look down on the man as either being a greater sinner than them, or at least born of greater sinners than them. Again, there is something wrong with their sight. So there is something wrong with the neighbor's eyes and with the disciples' eyes, and of course with the Pharisees' eyes as well. Instead of seeing the obvious miracle that Jesus performed, the Pharisees can only see that it was done on a Sabbath, and therefore supposedly in violation of their laws. Instead of rejoicing with the healed man, they accuse him of being a liar and they call his parents. And do the man's parents know what's going on? No, because there is something wrong with their sight too. They're so afraid of being put out of the synagogue, they are no longer able to see their own dear son standing before them, healed and seeing for the first time in his life. Blinded by fear, they can't see either. As it turns out, in the account of this one blind man being healed, it is actually the case that everyone is blind. And even those who seem to see don't really see. They are blind to the fact that the one walking in their midst and working in their midst is the Lord Almighty, God in human flesh. So a man born blind receives his sight. But there is an even greater miracle hidden here. After the man was betrayed by his parents and cast out by the Pharisees, Jesus hears of it. Jesus searches for the man and, having found him, asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. There isn't one blind man in the story. No, as we have said, all of them are blind. And in the end, and not until the very, very end, does only one see. Only one sees who Jesus truly is. This same Jesus who spat on the ground, who made mud with his spit, and anointed the blind man's eyes, who bid the man go to the pool and wash, this same Jesus is present with us. Where the word of Jesus is, there is Jesus. Where the baptism of Jesus is, there is Jesus. And where the supper of Jesus is, there is Jesus, God in human flesh, God with us. Let us not be blind. Last week, our Lord came into our midst in a special way. Also, this morning, at Zion Decatur, the Lord came into their midst in a special way. Where I was there to receive my new goddaughter, Lillian, into the faith, for she was baptized, and of course Felicity was baptized here this last week. The Lord came to Felicity and Lillian. He came not to grant them physical sight, but spiritual sight. And he anointed the eyes of Felicity and Lillian so that they might see. Born of water and the Spirit, little Felicity and little Lillian see what so many cannot see. Their words are the words of Psalm 22. "You are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast." Here in the waters of holy baptism, our Lord Jesus grants spiritual sight. Not to a man born physically blind, but to two little women born spiritually blind, newborn and now born again. To know who he is, to know who God is the gift given by the Spirit in baptism. For Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, and Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. To be baptized is to see Jesus, and to see Jesus is to see God. For only in Jesus do we comprehend God's love for sinners. It is not love in the way of acceptance or of affirmation of sin. Indeed, to love someone by affirming them in their sin is not love at all. It is not love in the way of second chances. That is good, but it is merely human love. It is love in the way of death and resurrection. It is death and resurrection love. It is a love almost too great for us to comprehend, and indeed, in fact, it is a love too great for us to comprehend, apart from the rebirth of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of Spirit is Spirit. And now we hear what St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." According to the plain words of Holy Scripture, what happens here in holy baptism is something that only God can do. What Jesus did for us on the cross, what Jesus did for us on Good Friday, is given to us. In baptism, we are buried with him. And what Jesus did for us on Easter morning is given to us. In baptism, we are buried with him and we are also raised with him. Jesus' coming out of the tomb is our coming out of the tomb. We have newness of life now and we shall have resurrection then. God loves us to death quite literally. And God loves us to resurrection. This is precisely God's love for sinners. In holy baptism, he Good Fridays us. He Easters us. He baptizes us into Christ and makes us a new creation. So newborn Felicity became born anew once more. A new creation anointed with the Holy Spirit and given eyes to see. And of course, this is not only God's gift to Felicity and to Lillian, but it is also God's gift to you all. The man who once told a man to wash in the pool of Siloam now tells us to wash in the waters of holy baptism. The same Lord who gave sight to the blind now enlightens our eyes so that we may see what so many refuse to see. That Jesus is the Christ, the true God and true man, and the Savior of sinners. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, I will never cast out. And when he says whoever, he means whoever. There is no sin, there is no habit of sin that he cannot wash away. There is no life so lost that he cannot save. There is no person he cannot bury and raise once more. He can and does make all things new. And that means great and small, learned and unlearned, good and bad in sick beds and nursing homes and mother's arms, deaf and hearing, blind and seeing, old and young, you and me, he desires all to be saved. May we not be blind as to shut our eyes to him, for then we would be in a self-imposed darkness, in self-imposed hell. For Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He alone shines, whether you shut your eyes or not. He shines and gives light to the blind. He shines and gives light to those who walk in darkness and in the valley of the shadow of death. No darkness can overcome him. He shines and lights the way back home. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.